Somebody asked me this morning, they said, how you doing, Pastor? I said, if I was any better, there'd have to be two of me. And Conrad ain't ready. I see Wendy going, no. Yeah. Thanks for that, Wendy. No, that's the truth. Could you imagine two of me and Conrad? Whoo. That yes, it would. More ways than one. Oh, my goodness. Everybody have a good week? Yeah? Sweet. Well, let me, before we jump into the word, a couple things. First one is J.J. Farrell, the missionary that we just saw. It was funny. He called me after making this video, and he goes, Pastor, I'm sorry. And I'm like, for what? He goes, I was highly caffeinated when I made that video. And I'm like, okay. So I watched it, and then I went, oh, yeah, you are. So, but sweet, sweet family. Love them dearly. I got to meet JJ when I was still youth pastoring, and I was over in Vienna, Austria, training youth ministers, and he brought a whole bunch of youth leaders from Romania up, and that's where I met JJ, and then started following his story. And when he went to Romania as a young man, as a missionary, there was a whole bunch of teenagers and young adults, teenagers 16 to 30 is where they kind of lump young people over there, and they were living in sewers, and he was crawling down in the sewers sharing Jesus with them, and that one captured my heart. I'm like, anybody that's loved teenagers that much to crawl into a sewer and to share the love of Christ with them, they're my hero. And it was at that point that him and I became really good friends. And some of you probably remember, it's been a couple years ago now, when I think we were just first getting into this building, and he was on furlough, and we brought him and his wife over, and they talked about what it was really like being a missionary on the ground in Europe. You guys remember that? And we had a dessert. How many were here? It was powerful. And so now they've transitioned to Barcelona, Spain, and the reason that the Lord took him there was to as much as he travels across Europe doing these conferences and champion youth ministry, it was really expensive to fly out of Romania, and it's like half the cost to fly out of Barcelona, Spain. So they made the transition over. But a lot going on. And the funny thing about it is he talks that fast pretty regularly, but he was really animated. I don't know if and he's like, yeah, I've had about 6 cups of coffee, Pastor. I'm sorry. But I'm like, I feel it. It's but yeah, just be praying for him. What we're wanting to do is we're wanting to, all the missionaries that we support monthly as a church, we're wanting to hear from them. And the cool thing about internet is they can do that was supposed to be a 2-minute video, just so you know. Just asking them, okay, what is it that God's doing? Give us a report. What's happening? How can we pray for you? And so we're going to have that each month. Next month is Paul and Krista Meha. They are still itinerating going to Israel. And so we'll hear something from them next month in February, and then we're going to do that through the spring, and then we'll pause for the summer, and then we'll pick it back up in the fall. Sound good? Right on. Well, today, like Trisha said, is Family Sunday, and this is my favorite Sunday. And here's why, is because I get to hear feedback from kids. They're not afraid to interact with me, especially my own kids. But it is fun to be able to just worship with them. And now, I wanted to see some more moves through the worship than I was seeing. But I think you could literally come out of that song with a bruised spleen doing some of those. I think Callie was just messing with it. She's homesick today, but I think she's like, I'm going to mess with everybody. Do they do that song in children's church? You guys are amazing. But I love family service because we get to worship and show our kids what it means to worship as adults, but also learn from our kids of this reckless abandonment and some moves. It was all just grooving. And but it's just fun, and I enjoy it. And so we've been in this series going through the book of Galatians, the letter of Galatians. and called Freedom. And I don't know about you, but I've been enjoying reading it and studying it. And we are in part three today. But just a quick reference back to where we've been in the last couple weeks. If you have not been able to be with us, I'd encourage you, if you have the church app, go to the sermons and church app. You can catch up there or on the website, Conrad, is it newlifeconrad.com? And there's, you can get the messages there to catch up where we're at. Phil is really quick on getting them up. He's usually got them up, what, on Mondays? Monday, huh?
I usually have them up by Sunday afternoon.
Boom shakalaka. So you can get them Sunday evening or Monday, but I would encourage you to get caught up. It's been a great, great ride so far. But we are in chapter 3, but let me give us just a quick update where we've been. It's a letter from the Apostle Paul to the churches of Galatia and in the Galatian region. And Paul has started off defining that there was two gospels, right? There was a relationship with Jesus, and then there's dead religion. And in week one, and we talked about the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that's us trying to do things our own way. Christianity is either laborsome and burden or freedom and liberty. Week two, which was last week, we talked about the crucified life, putting to death the old man, right? We crucify ourselves, crucify our flesh, and crucify the nature of the world. And just a quick announcement, at the end of this series, we're going to have a baptismal service. So if you want to, you've never been baptized and you want to be baptized in water, or you want to be rebaptized in water because you did it as a kid and you're like, talk to me afterwards. At the end of this series, we're going to do water baptism, and we're going to do it back there and not up here because I tried to flood the church once. Not a good situation, but it will be warm water because we have a little hot tub now. We're getting all upscale on y'all. Little hot tub, so it'll be warm. You won't be freezing. All the people that have been baptized in the cold water go, I hate you. But you want to redo? Yeah. That's excellent. So be looking for that. But if you're interested in it, please, or want to know more about it, and you're like, I don't know what it means. Man, I'd love to hear. Kids, same with for you. We'll have a conversation with either Callie or myself just to make sure that there's an understanding of what water baptism really means, all right? If everybody's cool with that, say, uh-huh. Okay, you guys ready to go? Right on, there's a few of you. Here we go. Talking about living in grace. If you got your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 3. We are going to walk through the third chapter of Galatians today together, and we're going to start off at verse 1 through 3. It says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you?" And I thought, an evil spell. So I looked that up in the Greek, and the translation really means evil eye, giving you the stink eye, right? The evil eye. Kids, how many of you, your parents have given you the evil eye? Yeah, a couple of you, you'll be honest. The rest of you are going, I don't want the evil eye, so I'm not going to raise my hand. But how about us adults? How many of us have been in a church where we've got the evil eye given to us? The evil eye of judgment. Anybody ever been there? It's like, oh my gosh. Yeah, we've all been there at some point. These are the people that maybe have turned up their nose at us because maybe we're not doing something right. We're not worshiping right. We're not dressing right. We're not using gooder English. You know what I'm talking about? There's those times that we have felt judged by that. And how many times have we looked at someone else and said something like, oh my gosh, that person is so annoying. Or, man, they smell bad. Or God, if I wish they could just clap on beat. Right? That would be me. Right? Or how could they dress like that? How can they go to the grocery store in slippers and pajamas? We've all thought it. When was the last time that we were judged? We felt judged by somebody else. Raise your hand. How many of you have ever felt that? If you have not raised your hand, you are lying, because we've all felt that at some point. But let me ask you this question. When was the last time that we judged somebody else? Oh, it got quiet. I heard a couple moans in there. Ooh. It's the truth. It's the truth, right? This is a real thing that's not just new to us. It was back in the first century church, right? The real thing of feeling judged and even having some people turned off. And I could bet, if I was a betting man, that's good or English, Sarah. If I was a betting man, I would say that there have been some of us in here that have walked away from church for a period of time because of how they were treated in church. And maybe you're here in this church because of that. I don't know. But there is this thing. It's a real thing, right? So let's continue on. In chapter 3, Paul is saying that you need to know the meaning. Here it is. For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. So let me ask you one question, Paul says. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Jesus Christ. How foolish can we be after starting our Christian lives in the Spirit? Why are we now trying to perfect it by our own human effort? So I'm gonna pause there, and I'm gonna clearly communicate the gospel. You ready? If you've never heard a clear, concise message of the gospel, here it is. For all of us have sinned. Romans 3:23 says, for all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right? Every one of us. We've all fallen short. We're back with Grandpa Adam and Grandma Eve. They sinned against God. It separated them from God. We are now separate because of our sin. We are separated from God, the Spirit of God, because of that. And we were created, hear this, we were created to have relationship with him. That's why he created us, was to have relationship, but sin separated that. Now there's this chasm, right? And so what happened? There had to be a sacrifice. There had to be a payment for sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So Jesus came to earth, lived like we live, experienced life like we experienced it, experienced the temptations that we all experience, and he laid his life down willingly to die for our sins because of that payment that we could have never paid. He paid it once and for all so we could have right relationship with God. That's the gospel. Boom, shakalaka, that's it, right? That's it. All we have to do is receive this gift. So how do we get rid of it? And here's the thing. The penalty for everyone's sin, again, is that you have to die. Right? The shedding of blood. So God sent, and I put it this way in my notes, God was sent to the courtroom of our life, and he said that he would take our place. He would pay that debt. Now, I don't know about you, for me personally, anybody ever had somebody just want pay for your meal? They just walk up and pay for your meal. I struggle with that a little bit. I used to really struggle with it. And here's why. Because they didn't eat that meal, I did, right? And so it's like I struggle with somebody paying for something that I consumed or whatever. Anybody else feel that way? But it's like you look at this. So Jesus paid, he paid this debt. Okay, Jesus didn't sin. He came to earth and lived 33 years on this planet, and he never once sinned. He was tempted in every way that we are tempted, and we see that in the Gospels where he is tempted by Satan himself, and he never once sinned, and he paid our debt. To me, that is just something that I'm like, thank you. Thank you. So, and here's, I put this in my notes too, and I was thinking about this. Hell is the place where people can try to pay for their own sins. All right, kids, Biblehead challenge. Ready? Yes. There's a guy. There's a guy. All right, kids, you ready? Duke, you can't do it yet. You don't got the burst. All right, here it is. First Bible head challenge. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Verse 2. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. You already have it? You already looked it up? Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Boom. Got one? One more. Ooh, right there. Right there. Here we go. Coming in hot. Boom. That was a Reese's Pieces. A Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Now it's Pieces. All right. Let's see what it says. And you, who, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of law. What is that saying? What is Paul trying to say? He's saying, if you can't fulfill, now we've talked about this. So the law is the Ten Commandments, right? And then God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. That's the Mosaic law. And then us human beings, the Jews, actually were like, well, let's make 603 more laws to help observe the 10. Weird. But you have 613 laws. And if you can't observe all of them, if you can't observe all of them, you still come up short. You still come up short. And James put it this way in James chapter 2, verse 10, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. If you can't master all of them and you break just one, you're guilty of breaking all of them, right? The law could not be obeyed. Think about this for a minute. And it still can't be obeyed. Why? The law cannot cure us of our sinful nature. The law was not given to us to cure us or to save us. It was purely given to us to be able to define what sin is. God's looking down going, okay, we need to define what sin is so you know. Now, it was a guardian. It was a one to try to keep us on the right straightened path, right? But no way could we ever obey it. And most Americans, check this out. I found this poll. Most Americans today believe in a 51% heaven, which simply means this. If my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, even 51% of the time, I deserve heaven. That's the general consensus of the American people, is my good, if it outweighs my bad, woohoo, I get to go to heaven. Right? Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, what then was the purpose of the law? Why was there the Old Testament? Why was there the Mosaic Law? Why was it there? And I've thought about this, and this is purely my weird brain, but I think he wanted to frustrate us that we can't do it ourselves, so we have to come to him in desperation. I don't believe that. It just sounded funny in my brain. But think about it. I do think that he gave us the law to define it, because it talks about that in scripture. But I think that he knew, I know that he knew the whole time that we would never be able to obey the law. That was not his intention. His intention from the fall of man was to provide a redeemer, to provide the payment, to provide a deliverer. Next Bible head challenge. I'm gonna give one this time. One, first one, right? You ready? Well, he's ready. You better be quick. Here it is. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, 25. Verse 24, 25. Verse 24, 25. Boom. Oh, man, we got it way back here. Carmelo. You like Carmelo? Boom. There we go. We got more. Don't be afraid. We got more. We got more. If you're a guest with us and not been here on a family service, one of the number one priority, one of the number one priorities of our kids' ministry is that kids will graduate fifth grade being able to navigate the Word of God easily. And so this is why we do this, is getting in the Word of God, practicing navigating God's scripture quickly and effectively so we know what's in there. The next thing is getting in the Word of God. It's one thing to be able to find Galatians chapter 3. It's another thing to be reading it, right? So what does it say? Verse 24, 25. So the law was put in charge, our tutor, our guardian, to lead us to who? To Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. So the law leads us to Jesus, to Christ. Anyone who has been trying to go to church enough, trying to read your Bible enough, and do enough, you found out that you can't do this on your own, right? It leads us to Jesus. Now, with that being said, don't stop reading your Bible. Because the more that you spend time in it, the more you understand who God is and the love story that he has written for us in this. The Old Testament is Jesus concealed. The New Testament is Jesus revealed. And so this is what Paul is communicating. So why can't we train ourselves into godliness? We're supposed to go to Jesus, right? We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And when we do it the right way, when we follow God's way, when we go to and have a relationship, an intimate and real relationship with Jesus, we don't need the rules. And that sounds weird, and I'll explain it in a minute. You're like, what? But here's the thing. We talked about this last week, 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? We become a new creature, a new creation when we are in Christ, right? And so imagine your whole life and all your sins and all of your shortcomings are on this chalkboard in heaven, and it's all here. And you've got Dave, and I've got like 27,000 chalkboards lined up with all the things that I've done. And when I accepted the gift of grace from Jesus, it wiped it all clean. And I get a fresh start. I'm a new person. You following me? If you're following me, say uh-huh. And Christianity is not a learned behavior. And this is the thing that some of us need to grab a hold of today. It's not a learned behavior, right? You're not training your dog with treats. God's not up here giving you treats to train you in Christianity. It is the Spirit of God that is transforming us, right? It's transforming. It's that inward transformation. In Galatians 3:22-24, it says the law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. The law did not make us right. Jesus made us right with God through faith. Christianity doesn't ask you to do right. It makes you right. I'm going to say that one again because that one's good. Christianity doesn't make you do right. It makes you right. Christ makes you right. You following me? Is that coming out okay? A transformation that happens with God through faith. This act of Jesus is grace. Everybody say grace. And I've been praying this week, and I've been thinking about this week, and I just found myself going, you know, I'm more desperate for you to experience it, not to just know it. 1 John 2:27 says, we have no need that someone would teach you, right? It's the Holy Spirit's job. Right? And when we accept this gift of grace, the Holy Spirit takes up residence and begins to teach you through grace. This is about following Jesus, not following a set of rules. How many of you have ever attended a church? How do I put this? How many of you have ever attended a stop it church? Right? Stop it! Stop sinning! Stop gossiping, stop it. Anybody ever? I remember being in one when I was a kid, right? And the pastor was the world champion spitter from the pulpit. Anybody ever been in one of those churches? Right? How successful was it? Can I just tell you this right now? I mean, there's a point, and I'm coming down. Oh, John, we're in trouble. There's a point that we will stop it. But that's not the gospel. right? That's not the gospel. Having somebody yell at you, stop it, all the time isn't the gospel. The gospel is, for I was a sinner, and now I'm saved by grace because Jesus has done. It's not anything to do with what I do. It's with what Jesus has done. D-O-N-E. Done. That's the gospel. You can try till you're blue in the face to stop sinning. You can try. I've done it. I've tried. But guess what? Just kept sinning. And I'm convinced of this. And this is the simplicity of the gospel. You ready? Is whatever you focus on the most gets bigger, right? Gets bigger. So when you focus on sin and you're keeping a list and trying to check it twice, going through trying to stop sinning, what are you focusing on really? But what happens when you turn your eyes to Jesus and you start pursuing Jesus and you're in the Word of God and you're starting to sing praise and worship songs in your song in your car when you're driving to Great Falls or even to the IGA or whatever it is, and you start and your eyes are on Jesus, what gets bigger? Then what happens? Then you're so focused on Jesus that you're not focused on sin. You following me? This is good. This is good. Whatever you focus on gets bigger. And when you focus on the grace of God and you start living in the grace of God, everything else seems to just start to, right? And you're in the presence of God. And when you're in the presence of God, this is the cool thing. At least I think it's cool. When I'm in the presence of God, nothing else matters. And I'm not wanting to sin. I am not wanting to go to this temptation. I am not wanting to do this stupid thing. I just want to bask in the presence of Jesus. And that's when the Holy Spirit begins to transform and begins to, and then when we're in the Word of God and we're reading the Word of God and we say, God, I want to know you more, show me. And it might be one verse that you read that day and God goes, whoop, and you're like all wrapped up in it and you're it's marinating. You ever had that? And you can't get that out of your mind and you're just like, God, what does this mean? And then you start to live it out. Man, that's the gospel. We need to experience grace and we need to experience Jesus. So five things that grace is. Ready? Five things that grace is. And I'm gonna give you an acrostic. I'm gonna use the word grace, and the first letter the letter of another word. That's an acrostic. Are you following me? All right. And I'm gonna give it to you as simply as I possibly can. Here it is, living in grace. The G stands for grace is a free gift. Everybody say gift. Yes. Gift. We can't earn it, we can't buy it. It's free gift. This is the definition of grace. It's God's unearned, undeserved, and unmerited favor. It's undeserved, it's unearned, and unmerited. It's free. Based upon the giver, not the receiver. It's free. Now, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. And I know, because I've had this conversation with people before. Jesus isn't letting you off the hook. Hear me. He's not letting you off the hook, okay? His gift was his life. It cost something. He's not just letting you off the hook, okay? It cost his life, right? It cost something. And we forget that horrible moment of what he went through. That's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper and the communion, is to remember what Christ did and what God did through Christ. It cost something. You remember the wages of sin? What we earned as a payment, there was a cost involved. And Jesus freely laid it down. Let me explain it this way. Maybe this. Somebody pushed you out from in front of an oncoming car. You were going to get schmucked by a car and they pushed you out, but it ended up killing them. right? You following me so far? They were killed by saving you. How would you feel? Bad? I'd feel bad that somebody's life died because or was lost because of me. But really, if somebody pushed me out of the car to save my life and they ended up, I would feel very appreciative of that, right? To me, and the scripture talks about there's no greater love than somebody that would lay their life down for you. That's true friendship. That's true love. I think in that moment, I would want to say that's not going to go in vain, right? I would want to live my life to honor the sacrifice. Does that make sense? And that's just the reality of things. And I think sometimes we find ourselves thinking, well, that's easier because it was a physical act here that we saw, that we experienced. But in reality, isn't that what Christ did? He literally pushed us out of a way of an oncoming bus of sin that we could, right? Just a thought. I think it would impact us in that regard. And then again, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I thought about this in light of being a dad. I thought, how, and it's hard to even wrap your mind around, and I don't think you can do it totally, but Jesus on the cross said, my Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? Right? God watched his son lay down his life freely. He watched it. His Father. Think about it, dads. Think about if your child, any one of your children, was going to lose their life, wouldn't you gladly trade places with them? And I thought about that, and I thought, God, I just can't imagine. I can't imagine how that felt, right? How great is his love for you and me? How great is his love? R, the R of grace is received, grace is received by faith. Now, faith is this interesting thing because faith is not simply belief, okay? It's trust in. Christianity is not simply a belief system. And here's why I know. Because the devil believes in Jesus, right? The devil knows scripture better than you and I all do together, corporately. So I know it's not a belief system. It is a trust. Faith system is an act of my beliefs. I put my trust in him. See the difference? Maybe this verse might help. Another Bible head challenge. Another one. How many candy bars do I have left? I got three. Okay, I got one more. Okay, here it is. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ooh, I've got a couple more. Good, we're good. Good, good, good. Boom, right there. I see one. Oof. Man, you guys are rocking. You have to share. Okay. Grandpa's like, ooh, yummy. Here it is, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9. For it is by what? Grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Let's bounce over to Romans chapter 4, verse 16. People receive God's promise by having faith. So those of us who are on the faith line, you're on that line and you're standing there trying to have faith. Can I just tell you that something amazing and miraculous happens when you cross the line into faith? And it's miraculous. It's miraculous. That's when the miracle of grace takes place. But some of us stand at the edge of that line of faith and we're like, I always vision it, have a vision in my mind of, anybody ever done any cliff jumping? I used to do it in my youth. And I did a lot of retarded things when I was a kid. And I don't, but I remember going, right? But then, or we can even go simpler than that. We can go even more basic. You ever done a trust fall? Yeah? Don't ever do it with buddies. I did it once. And I landed on my back and hit. Yeah. Some would argue that that's not true friendship, and I would agree with it, but but I can't say that I didn't return it in favor. So, but faith, right? Faith is no good until you put it into action. Faith is an action word, right? Faith. And faith is not just a belief system. It is putting your trust, right? Now, if I truly trusted my friends, I would have done it without, but I only did it once. Now, do it again. No. I was born at night, but not last night. It's an action word, right? And when we cross that line, when we finally put our faith into action and say, okay, God, I'm going to believe you are who you say you are. I'm going to believe that you keep all your promises, and so I'm going to step into faith. And a miraculous thing happens. And it's this grace that again begins to just flow over you when you step into action. So if you are, don't tell Carrie. If you are standing on the line of faith, I got to pause. Carrie and I were talking. I gave her some videos to listen to. And it was all worship leading and stuff like that. And there was five things that you do that would improve, blah, 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 whatever. And the first one was, open your eyes. And she's like, Pastor, I just had to laugh. And I'm like, you know, I said, I had the same response. I go, I wonder what Carrie's going to say about that one. So it's the very first one. Open your eyes. Okay. I still can't see. It was just funny. And I we should record a video response and send it to him. It's like, man, that would be hilarious, right? But here's what I started thinking about in my pursuing faith and putting faith into action and all of that stuff is I didn't learn God. I didn't learn God. I experienced God. Right? And I started to think about this, and I thought, how can I illustrate this? And it took me back to high school. I remember in high school, my dad and I were driving our 1979 Ford LTD station wagon, tan, with lots of scratches in it, because I had my driver's license then. And we were at the car wash, like that was going to really matter. But we were at the car wash, and my favorite car, still to this day, my favorite car of all times is a 1969 Ford Mustang Fastback, and I can bring it all down. I mean, I've got it, right? And there was one right in front of us. And I remember telling my dad, Dad, one, I wish I had the money because I would buy one just like this. This one was gray with black pinstripes. It was gorgeous and had a black Mach 1 spoiler on the back of it. It was just glorious. And my dad, in all his wisdom, says, well, someday, son, it might not seem so far off, which was his way of going, pound sand, dude, you ain't getting that car. But then I just thought, so I still obviously don't have one, but imagine with me for a minute. Imagine that I was able to get that car. I bought the car, anyway. And I had it sitting in my garage. And every day I go into my garage and I sit in this 1969 Ford Mustang GT Fastback with a 351 Windsor, double Holley pumpers, 3/4 inch cam, 4,300 torque converter. Oh, and I sit in this car and I wipe the dust off the cab or the dash. And then I get out with my chamois cloth and I'm wiping the dust off the car. And I'm just, oh, right? And then let's imagine now that I joined a Mustang group. And I go to these group meetings and we all talk about all things Mustang and I'm going to conventions. And let's imagine that at some point I even get to go to the factory that once was there when it was built. This is the factory it was built in. And I'm walking through the assembly line of where this car was built. Oh, oh, oh. Right? And I'm doing all these things, and I'm there, and oh my gosh, and it's like, and then I order the original manual, and I'm reading the manual, and not only reading the manual, but Roger, I'm memorizing big chunks of this manual that I could spit out at random. Chad, you're getting this, huh? And I'm just like, ooh, right? And I've got all of this. And I'm like, oh yeah. And I've gone to the factory and I've studied and I ordered the original blueprints and design and specs so I can even know the car more. You got goosebumps? I got goosebumps. Right? And I'm part of this Mustang club and all of these things. And I think you guys are going, Pastor, you've lost a key, a cog in your gears. But here's the thing. I think every one of you would think it would be crazy to know that I've gone all through that, but I've never experienced turning the key on and driving this car with all the 300, 400, 500, 600 horsepower at the rear differential. And I'm like, oh, the roar of the dual exhaust, and right? You're like, you've done all this, but you've never drove it. Cuckoo, right? You hear me? But here's the thing. In many ways, that's what we've done with our modern expressions of Christianity. We've been saved. We have Christ in our hearts. We are his and he is ours. And we love and adore him. And we enjoy sitting in his presence. And we sing songs about him and praise of him. And so we should. We love the Bible and we love listening to experts of the word who know the book so well that they can quote portions of it. Pause. I have actually sat in the presence of a man that has memorized the entire Bible chapter and verse, and there is nothing more captivating than that. Nothing. And I struggle with the 17 verses that I know by heart. The whole Bible. But we love sitting there and they can quote these and tell stories of what the Lord has done in the past. Some of us have even traveled to the Holy Land. But while we do all of that, like someone with a 69 Mustang Fastback that never experienced the roar as it cruises down the highway, we often fail to pray and believe Christ that we actually experience the power of God's saving grace. Which leads us to the next letter. You're like, whoa, that was aggressive. The A of grace. Grace is available to everyone. Can I just say, let us never be a people that casts an evil eye on any guest that comes through our doors. Let us be never be a people that cast an evil eye in our community, because the same amount of grace that they need is the exact same amount of grace that you and I need every day. Everyone is welcome. We see it on our slides that come around. We talk about it all the time. Everyone is welcome. Tattoos, broken, hurting, rich, poor, divorced, single parents, every race, everyone is welcome, because Jesus accepted and accepts everyone. Everyone. John 8, the story of the woman caught in adultery. You all familiar with that story? I won't, for the sake of time, I won't go too far into that. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders and rulers of the day, were trying to trap Jesus. They caught this woman in adultery. They drug her out, put her in the middle of this circle of people, and said, "Jesus, the law states that anyone caught in adultery, they should be stoned. What do you say?" Jesus kneels down and starts doodling in the dirt. And he just basically says, "Ye, any of you without sin, cast the first stone." Right? One by one, they drop their rocks and they walk off. And at one point, it's just Jesus and this lady. And he goes, "Where are your accusers?" She's like, "There's no one here." And Jesus goes, "Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." Right? Everybody can come and let Jesus do his work through his Spirit on the inside of us. Romans 10:13, everyone, everybody say everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved by grace through faith. Everyone. Everyone, when people come in, don't give them that judgmental evil eye. Let them come in and let Jesus transform them just like he is doing you. Because I here's the secret. Your transformation ain't complete. Neither am I. Mine ain't complete. My favorite verse, my life verse is Philippians 1:6. I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in me will carry it out to completion. Translated, God ain't done with us yet. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, and through this Holy Spirit, will begin to transform. C for grace. Grace comes only through Christ. There is only one way to get to heaven, and it's through Jesus. No other gods paid for your sins, yo. He's the only one that did. He's the only one that's not still in a grave. John chapter 1, verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:15, many people have received God's gift of life by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto my Father except through me. Here's a crazy thing. Total sidebar, not in my notes. The tabernacle of God in the Old Testament. You know, the one that they had to tow around, and there was three gates. One went into the courtyard, one went into the holy place, and one went into the holy of holies. The Jewish people said that it's the way. First gate's the way. The second one's name is the truth. And the one into the holy of holies is life. When Jesus says this, he is taking it back to the Old Testament, to what the Jews would understand as the tabernacle. The only way into the holy of holies. The way, the truth, the life. You have to walk through all three to get in. Jesus is those gates. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father except through him. Little Jewish culture for you. Acts 4:12, verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There's no other way. There's only one way. Someone died for you, so you didn't have to. And his name was Jesus. Bible head challenge. Boom. We're going to go two this time. Two. Verse two. If you've already won, you can't win. Sorry. Got to share the love. Galatians 2:21. 2:21. One right there. One right there. Ooh, Duke, you were close. EJ. There it is. There it is. Yes, we bribe our kids to get in the Bible. All right, it says this. Don't treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if we could be saved by keeping the law, then there was no need for Christ to die. Can I read that one again? That one is just kind of in your face, isn't it? Don't treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if we could be saved by keeping the law, then there was no need for Christ to die. So as I wrap this up this morning with the last letter, E. E of grace stands for grace is extended throughout eternity. He took care of our past sins, your current sins, and your future sins. All covered. Right? All covered. All covered. Last one. And here's the last Bible head challenge. But I don't want you to find it. First person that can stand up and quote it from memory gets the ever-loving, coveted Snickers bar. This is Body by Snickers. So you have to stand up and say it from memory. It's the most famous scripture in all the world. John 3:16.
For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Boom. Woo. Yvonne, that was like ninja skills. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life. Some people, and I've heard this said, and you might be in here today trying to make this argument, that if great, we've talked all about this grace, and this grace is amazing, and this grace covers so much, then I should be able to live however I want to live. That's not what grace is for. It's not a blank check to sin. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, should we keep on sinning that grace may abound? By no means. When we live in grace, it teaches us. It transforms us. It changes us. It changes your motivation for what you do. You don't want to sin because of grace. You want to keep your eyes on Jesus because of the grace that you have experienced. And here's the result. You ready? Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us. Everybody say teaches us. To say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. When we are experiencing grace, it teaches us to be godly. It teaches us in our day and age to be upright and godly and live out these lives. Grace will teach you. Don't try to change yourself with self-help books and videos through your own effort. 1 John tells us that the Holy Spirit in grace will teach you. Grace when you what you ought to do becomes what you want to do. Next week, chapter 4, we're going to talk about the clarity of the relationship aspect with God. And so we're going to close out this way. Everybody just close your eyes and bow your heads. Really brief. I don't want to take time. We talked about early on that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus died on a cross and he is Lord, he was raised from the third day, that you will be saved. Calling on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And if you're here today and you're like, Dave, I need to experience grace today. I need to experience the grace of God today. It's simple. I don't believe in embarrassing people, but I do believe in response. And I believe that if you would be embarrassed to stand up for Jesus, then we got to have a deeper conversation. But here's the thing. It's not a miraculous prayer. It's not any of that. Romans 10:8 says that you will, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he died on a cross for our sins, that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, that he rose on the third day to conquer sin and death. If you believe that and you in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, that you are saved. And so what we do here at New Life is this. As we're gonna play music, and as I'm wrapping up, all you have to do is do that. You just need to spend a couple minutes with the Lord and say, God, I believe this. I believe you are who you say you are. I believe that you sent Jesus as the sacrifice for my sins, that he died on a cross and paid that debt. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe this. And you're confessing it with your mouth. You're saved. It's not, like I said, it's not a miraculous prayer. If that's you today, I would encourage you strongly, don't leave here without finalizing that and receiving that free gift of grace today. Because I'll tell you this, and I can say this with all confidence, with all 294 pounds of my body, that the day that I received that grace changed my life forever. And it has never been a regret. Never been a regret. So I would encourage you to make that a priority if you have not today. For the rest of us, I want to encourage you in the Lord to continue to allow God's grace to do his transformational work in our lives. It's not one and done. It's a regular thing to walk and live in God's grace. Amen? Let me pray for us, and then we're going to close in a song together. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to be the payment for my sin, the payment that I could never make. God, thank you for your amazing grace in our lives. Lord, I pray that even now, as I'm closing in prayer, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is speaking to our lives, encouraging us, wooing. Maybe you're drawing somebody to that saving grace. Your word says that no one comes unto the Father except through Jesus, but by the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, for the rest of us, I pray also that you would continue through your Spirit to grow us in grace. Like Paul said so eloquently in Romans chapter 6, should we keep on sinning that grace may abound. By no means. Grace is not just a blank check for sin. Grace is a motivator to change from what we ought to do to being what we are doing, to walking in the fullness of grace, to being people of grace. It's not a prayer that we say at our dinner table. God, grow us more in grace. Transform our lives through and in grace. And we pray this in your glorious and wonderful Son's name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. Stand with me as we close, worship team.